no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
We have on the phone Dr. Tim Anderson. Tim was one of the 40 political economists invited to Caracas in Venezuela to debate the Wall Street crisis and develop some of the responses at the first International Political Economy Conference. And I asked Tim if the establishment of the Bank of the South, or Banco Sur, would buffer the Latin American countries from the financial meltdown.
The Banco Sur, the Bank of the South, is a proposal that many of the large Latin American governments supported a year or so back. It hasn't materialized yet, and there's a bit of a debate about its character, I guess, because the very big private companies in Brazil and Argentina, it's not clear exactly to what extent the governments of those countries will be able to steer this through, and the agreement on the form of it's not quite there. But the Banco Sur is one of a network of public banks that are springing up in Latin America. The Bank of Alba, which is the Bolivarian alternative, there's six countries involved in that, two in Central and two in America and two in the Caribbean. And then Venezuela has some new banks or funds generated with Russia, Iran, and China. The Chinese fund with Venezuela now has $12 billion in it. So there's a series of initiatives in public funds for public investment, public infrastructure that are being created. And the Banco Sur in particular is seen as potentially having a role to counter the influence of the IMF and the World Bank in Latin America, which privileges private investment over public investment.
Yeah, that's been an interesting outcome there. Are the other Latin American countries, do they seem interested in this sort of this initiative?
Yes, most of them are. But as I said, there's still some significant details that need to be nutted out in terms of the Banco Sur. The other ones exist already.
Right.
But Banco Sur is still, really, there's still probably an internal debate within Brazil in particular, for example. Brazil is, of course, the heavyweight in terms of commercial and financial power in South America.
I noticed at the IPEC meeting, some of the measures recommended, like closing offshore banking facilities and the suspension of the payment of public debt. That's going to attract a lot of attention, I think. And, you've mentioned Brazil, but how likely is it that measures like that will be eventually accepted?
Depends on the will of particular governments. I mean, the Argentinian government did that in relation to debt. There was a default back 7 years ago, so they're talking about a temporary suspension of that because they don't want the debt service payments, which are a very sensitive issue in Latin America, to be a hindrance to the social programs that they've got. As I said at the beginning, Latin America is already in a significantly better position than it was, say, 20 years ago to pursue these sorts of measures. Because the debt's been cut down, the level of debt that Argentina and Venezuela have got is much, much less than it was, say, 20 years ago. In terms of the other, you mentioned the offshore banking, of course, that's a difficult one. It involves the implementation of capital controls. Well, exactly the same things being said in Europe at the moment. You might notice that Europe is singing a different tune to the US at the moment over this, but the Europeans are talking about significant capital controls and significant public equity in ongoing public equity in banking. Appears to be a conflict between Washington and some of the European parties at this stage over that. So those things being said in Latin America now in the current context are not totally unusual. I think there's... There's a great deal of public support, of course, too, for closing off these sort of loopholes that allows people to... Well, people are concerned about capital flight,
If
the capital is going to escape the country to some tax haven somewhere. And I think you can see there's a lot of public anger about pirates in the financial system robbing people at this time of crisis.
And has there been any reaction yet or response? I mean, apart from some of the predictable ones from the US, from Washington, the policy of investing in social, investing into the social sector, and the possibility that these other more radical measures would come in, has that attracted any kind of response or comment from the industrialised nations?
It has, but of course, you know, they've got their own problems at the moment. Yeah. The US tends to be self-obsessed. They're looking at their own problems. But you notice, for example, that the Paulson, the guy behind this bailout, is in some ways they were paralyzed by this crisis because they were all free marketeers. You know, they were all they were all pirates. They wanted everything privatized. So the idea of moving in with a massive amount of money to they didn't really know what to do with it. They wanted to bail out the these private companies, but they didn't quite know how to do with it. So, because they were so instinctively hostile to the idea of public equity in private companies, you know, so a national to be themselves involved in a sudden nationalisation was disorienting. So, Paulson in particular. So. So they've had their own problems in how to deal with that. And in the meantime, the Europeans moved ahead to some degree and said, no, we're just going to take public equity in these banks. The instincts of the Washington group would be, you know, to do what they proposed the Thais do in the Asian crisis 10 years ago, which was to get public equity in the bank and then give it back to the private companies when the crisis was over. So in other words, to bail them out and then to restore the old system. They don't have any alternative vision. There's no alternative vision coming out of Washington except that they're going to restore the old vision, whereas at least in Europe they're talking about, well, we have to make sure these things don't happen again. We need a different type of structure that doesn't allow a number of the practices that have been going on. So in terms of in Latin America, well, there's been a war of words for a long time there, of course, you know, about Venezuela. It's almost impossible to get much sensible things about information about Cuba or Venezuela or any alternatives in Latin America from the US press. It's very rare. You've got to sift through to find it. So they've been saying, for example, that, oh, you know, the influence of Chavez is now going down the plug because oil prices are going down and so on. They've been saying things like that. But really, I think they're more obsessed with their own problems. They've got enough problems of their own at the moment. Which is maybe a good thing for other countries.
Yeah. Well, I think the Chavez government anyway was anticipating a decline in oil prices. Yes. Now, as a political economist, Tim, would you be prepared to say that certainly the countries of ALBA could be fairly well buffered against the possibility of a world recession?
Well, there's a big debate about this in Venezuela, really. I think one minister said that we were protected because we've been taking measures. We pulled most of our reserves out of the US. We're diversifying our financial sources and so on. That's not entirely a convincing argument because the extent of the US intermeshing in the global economy is substantial, and the US and the Europeans are very deeply intermeshed. So, and the US and Latin America is very deeply intermeshed. So it's But, of course, Venezuela has been making moves to create a very strong public sector and some more diverse connections. So anyway, I think the outcome of that was that the line from Chavez, and I think it's correct, is to say, look, we're not immune from it. We're not, the expression is armor plated from this crisis. It's going to affect us, but we're in a better position than we would have been had the free trade of the Americas gone through and there were, for example, very strong private investor rights and no capital controls at all down there. They would be much more vulnerable, much more exposed to the risk had they gone further down that liberalisation track. So that's going to affect them, but hopefully they'll be able to... I mean, a number of development economists have said this. Really, the state plays an important role in these sort of situations. The state is a type of buffer against the extremes of these things affecting populations. If you remove that role of the state as having a public sector, having social security, being a regulator of some of these global processes, you expose your populations to some terrible, terrible forces. You know, so in some ways, the Latin alternative is is rebuilding the state as a buffer against these global forces, but you can't completely make yourself immune from them.
Well, thanks very much for talking to Community Radio.